It's a really important day for us as Christians, and maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal friend, as your Lord and Saviour. But something has brought you here today. Something has brought you to church today. Be it circumstances, be it that it's Easter and you just feel that you need to be here. And I just want to try and convey the next 10 or 15 minutes why it's so important to us. And I'm going to ask Amanda to, oh, she's brought it up, but my colour choice was not great. That, oh, there it is. That why the cross is so important to us. And why an empty cross and an empty tomb is so important to us as Christians. You see, the cross achieved many things. But I want us to focus today on two things that the cross achieved. And if we can understand these, and if we can get this right into our heart, then the rest, I am sure, will fall into place. We've spoken about how we are all sinners, how we are all people that have damaged our relationship with God. I can remember back to a time when I wasn't sure if there was a God. I've only been a Christian for about 15 years now. And I would, before that, I would just go and do whatever I wanted to do. I didn't really mind who I hurt, what kind of trouble I caused. I just was living for me. And throughout that time, I was damaging this relationship with God, and I didn't even care. And then I got dragged to church by my wife, and I started to question. I started to wonder, and I became a Christian. I went to an Alpha course, and over a period of time, I realized that there was a God, but I had damaged my relationship with Him. But then I discovered this amazing fact that God loves us so much that He loves every single one of us here today, every single person in the world so much that He was prepared to pay the price for our sins, for the damage that we've done to our relationship. Because God is just. And if we break the rules, there has to be a punishment. But God loved us so much that He decided He would send His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross.
Mark
chapter 10 verse 45 says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." We don't have to do anything to receive that payment, to receive that acknowledgement that our debts have been paid, that our sin has been washed away. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to believe in who He is. There is no physical work that we can do that will cover that cost. I said last week, for those of you that you were here, that I used to go through life thinking, well, if there is a God, the good things I've done will outweigh the bad things I've done. And when I get to heaven, there'll be a set of scales and it'll be fine, I'll get in. I'll be sorted. But that's not the way it works. My sin broke that relationship so much. Do I sin now? Yes. Am I a perfect person? Ask my wife that question. Last night she called me a womble. I quite liked it actually, but she called me a womble. That was after I messed up something again. She was on the phone to her mum at the time as well, so it'd be an interesting dinner later. But we all make mistakes. We still mess up. But because God loved me so much and Jesus died for me on the cross, those mistakes are covered. It doesn't mean that I should keep making them. I've got to try not to. But I don't have to beat myself up about it. So on the cross, the first thing I want us to remember is that whatever you have done, however good or however bad you feel you are, it's been paid for. It doesn't matter if, well, it doesn't matter if you've committed murder. But it doesn't matter if you're a murderer or if you're just a person that occasionally tells a little white lie. On the cross, it has been dealt with. It has been forgiven. I can't explain how because I don't fully understand. Anybody that tells you how that they understand the cross fully, well, I think, you know, they're tempting it a bit. This morning before I came out, I watched a video from Billy Graham just to remind me, just to reflect again. And Billy Graham, some of you will know that name, a great American evangelist. He's still into his late 90s now. And not even he, a great man like that, fully understands the cross. What was achieved? So number one, our debt was paid. Jesus died on the cross. And then he was taken down. And he was... Ooh. It's a bit of a dodgy connection. It's not me. I'm not treading on anything.
He was taken down from that cross when he was dead.
The Roman soldiers checked that he was dead. They took his body and put it in a tomb and rolled a big stone. We're not talking, you know, a light stone, a massive stone in front of that tomb. And they posted Roman guards outside the tomb to stop anybody going into the tomb and to make sure that the body stayed there. 3 days later, Mary Magdalene and a few of Mary's mother and Jesus' mother went to the tomb. Their plan was to go and cleanse the body and prepare the body. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And they went, and Mary went in, and there was nobody there. There was nobody there. Her immediate reaction was that somebody had stolen the body, that the Romans had moved it. And as she was coming back to tell the apostles what had happened, she met a man that she thought was the gardener. And that man turned out to be Jesus. He had defeated death and he had rose again. Luke 24 verses 6 to 7 says, "He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The biggest weapon that Satan has over us is death. Maybe not for people here, but for many people, have a fear of dying. Because for them, that's the end. That's it. And that is Satan's biggest weapon against us. But if Jesus did defeat death, which I believe he did, if he rose again, then we don't have to fear death. But because through Jesus, we are saved and we are promised eternal life. I think it's very strange. I have the privilege of being able to visit people when they're ill in hospital. And you can often tell the people that are Christians and the people that aren't Christians. I've been there with
family members
and with people from the church as well. Christians are sad that they may be leaving their loved ones, but they genuinely are not scared of where they're going, because they know that they're going to heaven, that they're going to have eternal life. And one of the main reasons I became a Christian was because there was a man called Joe Eden who welcomed people at the door of our church in London, who with complete assurance knew that when he died, he was going to heaven, and that he would see his wife again in heaven. And he didn't matter what life threw at him. He was in pain from an injury sustained in the war. But he didn't worry. He wasn't scared of death because he knew where he was going. If we're not scared of where we're going, we can live life free. We can live life how God intended us to live life, without fear. We need to know. We heard from the children who were playing, some of those people that saw Jesus after he had been crucified and put in the tomb and come back to life. He obviously appeared to the disciples. But also in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. Eyewitnesses to Jesus rising from the dead. If we took that evidence to a court, to a real court, if we took 500 eyewitnesses, there would be no arguments. Judge, I believe it, would have declared that he rose from the dead. There are people here today that can testify to how their life has been transformed by believing in Jesus Christ. By believing that he died for you, that he rose again, and that he wants to help you. I don't believe in a boring Christianity. I believe in an all-powerful God who loves us and who wants to help us and who rose from the dead. And that is the message that we need to take. Death has been defeated. He is risen. I don't know if everybody here is a Christian.
But I want to
give you the opportunity this morning that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, if you don't have him in your life, if you're not on a journey with him right now, for you to be bold and to take that step of faith. Sometimes people say to me, I don't know everything. Don't worry. If there is something in your heart that tells you that Jesus was a real person and what we've been seeing and talking about is true, then that will be enough. It's by faith that we are saved. Not by our actions, not by our works. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. So in a minute I'm going to
ask everybody to
close their eyes and bow their heads.
And I'm going to say a prayer.
And if you don't know Jesus and you would like to, then just say that prayer either out loud or in your head. As I pause, I'll pause at certain points and you'll be able to follow along. Mark, if I change this mic to this one here, will that work better? So let us just bow our heads, just Children, if I could ask you just for 2 minutes, just for me, just to pray with people. And if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior already, then just reflect on what he has done for us. So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I have sinned, that I have messed up. Help me to turn away from the things that I know do that hurt you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross. To take the punishment that I deserved. Father, I just want to invite him into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Father, I want to receive your free gift of the Holy Spirit to help guide me as I set out on this journey. Amen. While everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you have said that prayer for the first time today, and are brave enough, would you like just to raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to hand back over to the... Oh, wait a minute. I've got to eat the dog food again, haven't I? I can assure you, if you're visiting us today, I do not eat dog food every day of the week. What did you say, Grace?
What did she say, Ruth?
Too much dog food,
you'll
turn into a dog.
Oh.
That is true.
Thank you. So kids, remember, when you see anybody from Hope South, I want you to say that I saw Adam eat dog food. And if they tell you you're lying, say no, I definitely saw him eat dog food. So here we go.
No, wait.
I think we should have got Pedigree Chuck. I hear it's better. Hear it?
Let's see.
Yeah, didn't get it.
No, not anymore. Right, I'm going to hand back over to the worship band, who are going to lead us in a song or two. After the service, please do stay around. I even believe that we have hot cross buns today. Is that correct? Yes. Excellent. Kids, your mission today is to eat as much chocolate as your parents will allow you to.
Yeah.
I am in so much trouble. All complaints can be filed with Damien as usual, that's okay. And please stay for tea and coffee afterwards. If you did say that prayer today for the first time, please do come and see me afterwards or have a chat maybe, and we can go from there. So let's have a go to the guys who are going to lead us in a time of worship. Whoa.